From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we're pleased to welcome in Alex Barraza, who is the Regional Coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Alex, good day to you.
Howdy, howdy. How are you, Bob? Beautiful day. Isn't
it beautiful? Yes, indeed it is. I love these. They're chilly mornings, and then you're going to work at 6 in the morning, and then you have the heater on, and then you get in your car to go home, and you have the air conditioner on.
So, I know, but at least it's not the heater anymore.
Yes, indeed. Well, I love this time of year. Well, Alex, we're trying to get through this pandemic. How are you holding up?
I know it's been such a long yes. Pandemic. Yesterday was my birthday. This is my second birthday under pandemic. I really thought it was going to be out of the pandemic by this one, but no. So.
Well, you know, the birthdays don't count during the pandemic. You didn't get any older. You don't have to count those.
That's what I keep telling people. I mean, I said I did. I'm still the same me. From 2 birthdays have also.
Wow. Yeah. I've had one during the pandemic, but I've got till September to have the second one. I'm hoping that everybody's vaccinated, everybody's healthy, and we're ready to rock and roll.
I know. My heart goes to all the people that we have lost, all the people that have lost their livelihood.
Yes.
And feel depressed and alone in this time. So it's a challenging time.
Yeah, well, we need to pray for all of them, and of course, people who have lost loved ones, or people who, you know, you read every day about people who got the disease and can't get rid of it. The so-called long haulers that sort of is baffling the scientists. They just aren't sure what to do with it and how to treat it. They're not in danger of dying, but they continue to have these symptoms months after they apparently don't even have the virus anymore. So. Very, very strange. And then other people that have had it and just had no symptoms at all. It's one of the strangest, the strangest disease I can think of in my lifetime, for sure.
Yes. You know, you never know how it's going to affect, and that's a fear of it, right?
I mean, yep.
I mean that's been my fear, personally. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. I don't know which ones am I going to be, and that's what makes it a challenge.
Yes, indeed. Well, but trust the Lord. The Lord has not left the building. He's still here. So we will trust the Lord and carry on. Our faith is one of hope and optimism and trust in the Lord and a belief, a knowledge, really, even more than a belief, but a true knowledge that good is going to win in the end. And Jesus died for our sins, and we have been saved.
Amen. So true.
Well, Alex, Mercy in Motion, what a wonderful program that is. How is it being affected first by the pandemic before we talk about the program itself?
It's been very successful. Thank God, praise God, we were able to respond to the need. We've gotten, we're in our, we call them Volume 3, Mercy in Motion V3. So it's the third time we're going to run it. We have about 30 young people that are looking to complete their service hours for confirmation this time around. It's service from home. And so we developed it. I was challenged, a good challenge by the office, how we're going to do this, how we're going to invite parishes to do service in this time. And we came up with this idea. So tell us,
it's for middle and high school students, middle school, high school.
Yes. So what it is a do it from home service project, it's a week long opportunity for young people to plan and execute service. We focus on the works of mercy, can be physical, corporal. Or it can be spiritual. So young people, we gather virtually with a team on Sunday in the afternoon for an hour and a half. We have a prayer, we have some songs, we talk a little bit about what mercy is, Corporal Works of Mercy. The young people decide or finish deciding what their service is going to be. And then Monday through Friday, we follow them through a chat in WhatsApp. We chat with them saying, hey, how are you doing? Tell us about your program. During the Monday to the Friday, online, we have a video reflection that they can watch, and we have a journal that we send home that they can see. And then they will just, fill it out, the journal at home, we send it home. And we try to keep it like a retreat, kind of. So every day, there's a question, there's a song that they listen to, a reflection, and they do the service project. So they have 5 days to do this, and on Friday we come back together. We talk about the spiritual works of mercy, and then on Saturday we finish it up by doing what happens afterwards. What's the next step?
Wow. So explain a corporal work of mercy.
Corporal works of mercy is using our body to create something on behalf of someone else without payment. Doing it out of the goodness of our heart.
Right.
Some young people, we have some options. The one that most people choose is the one to make Linus blankets. And they create, and then it becomes like a little competition. Who can make more Linus blankets?
Right.
And so they go to the store, they buy the fabric. They cut it, tie. If anybody has ever made a Linus blanket, is you create a blanket for an adult or a child, and the size of a child, but you have to cut the ends, because then you tie the ends, you make knots, and you can make a two-sided blanket with two fabrics, or you make one, but the idea is to tie the knots. You make cuts in the fabric, and then you make knots. In the fabric, and it looks a blanket with a lot of little knots on top, and then you go and turn it in. Usually, John's Fabric has the boxes too. This is not a commercial for them, but they're the ones that have the most famous ones that have the boxes.
That's where my kids go, and my wife goes. Yeah,
yeah, and they have the boxes there that you can drop it off, and then the other one that is very popular as well is making cards, creating your own cards for, it can be the hospital or the chattings. We promote a lot that the kids look at the chattings list and see if they can make cards and then give it to the parish so they can mail them to people that they usually would otherwise be receiving communion, but are not receiving communion right now because of the pandemic.
Right.
But at least they can receive a card from the parish.
That's really nice. So what happens to the Linus Blankets?
The Linus Blankets is an organization. It's a national organization that is distributed to children that are in hospitals, usually children that are in ICU or have challenging conditions. And the organization is 501C. They distribute the blankets.
Oh, that's really nice. Is that nationwide?
It is nationwide. Yeah, but I think it's the charters are local. So the blankets stay in the area.
Sure. Boy, that's touching. That's I'm sure that means a lot to the kids that get them, and it means a lot to the families too.
Yes, it is. You know, my daughter, the reason why I like it a lot is because when my daughter was in the hospital, and she was very young, and she was less than 5 years, she had pneumonia. We were living in North Carolina at the time. And this organization came and gave her a blanket.
Wow.
And it was so touching to us. I think we still have the blanket. So we like, we support their organization.
Now, if we weren't in a pandemic, how would Mercy in Motion be operating?
So it all started because we're going to do a mission trip in the summer. The office had planned a mission trip. A local mission trip experience, and we had 5 sites that we were gonna go here in the vicinity, and we had this plan. Lindsay West, if you remember her, she's been with you guys in the radio program
right,
before.
Right.
She had planned with other youth ministers, and then when the pandemic hit, I was tasked to turn that mission trip into something that could be done from home. The idea was a lot of the parishes go on mission trips, but some parishes cannot afford or do not have the personnel to plan these elaborate mission trips going out of the city and what have you. So we were going to do something simpler, but still meaningful. And then the pandemic hit.
So where, like, what kind of things would you have been doing in the city?
We're going to work with school that is by Santa Rosa. The name escapes me. It's a school that works with in one of the impoverished neighborhoods. It has some, I don't remember if it's Diamond. You caught me off guard, Bob. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
And we're going to go there and work with them. They needed some payment. And the cleaning, and that was going to be one of the sites. We're going to work with a couple of the food banks. Because they need assistance. And our objective was to tie into one of the organizations that feed the homeless and do some type of work like that.
Wow. So presumably you'll do this again, next spring? You're going to do it now, right?
Yes. It starts on Sunday at 3. It's a virtual gathering. And then it goes all week. And Friday we have a virtual gathering. And then on Saturday, the closing. We're trying to decide if we're going to continue doing it in this way. Because what has happened is that if a young person does needs help completing these hours, then this is a great way to do it. I mean, you join other kids. It's virtual. So that means that if you live in Vallejo or you live up north, you still can participate in this.
Yeah.
And do it from your home base, right? You don't have to travel somewhere to do it.
Right.
That was the determinant sometimes with mission trips, that you have to travel.
Very good. Well, it's wonderful stuff. So even once the pandemic goes away, praise the Lord, let's hope, you may continue to do it this way.
Yes. I mean, I think it has surpassed our I don't want to say expectations, because we didn't have any expectations per se.
Right.
But I think it has brought a need for it. Bishop Soto has always challenged us to do service in our community with the needs, to see it, the needs in the community. You don't get more to the community than doing something like this.
So do community groups approach you, or do you approach them? How is this connection made?
We survey. We have a committee of several people in the committee, and then they went online to see what was in their community. So we have one of the things that people can do is work with the FOSTER program in Placerville. They have a thing where you can do or donate teddy bears or donate stuffed animals, right? So. Kathy Kasnick from Placerville, she helped us do a lot of research in the community. And then Nancy from St. Peter, St. Paul, she's also very much involved with service projects in the communities. So she knew of places that we could use as reference for the young people to do. service with.
Wow. So what else is going on with in your neck of the woods in terms of youth and young adult ministry?
So we're very excited. We're going to have Fire on Fire again in September, and we are planning on being live on site. It's going to be awesome. We're the video went out already, and it's going to be in Vallejo at what is that animal?
Six Flags.
Six Flags, Vallejo. Yeah. And it's going to be live, God willing. And so we're exciting. It's going to be in September.
Yeah, we had to miss that one last year, but this year the hope is, and the plans are being made to have it, you know, everybody show up. Obviously, there'll be maybe some rules and a little bit different, but it'll be a great day.
Yep, September 18th, and it's going to be there in presence. And we're also working on our summer leadership development program. We're working to see what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be, because that one is with other dioceses as well, so we're trying to gauge to see.
Now, you folks do a lot of collaboration with our other Northern California dioceses, and usually the Diocese of Reno gets included in that as well.
Correct. Region 11 includes even Hawaii and Guam.
Wow.
They wouldn't come for I don't know. If they wanted to come, they're more than welcome to come. We do a lot of collaboration. Dick and Kevin Stasko, always looking to see how we can collaborate with them.
Yeah, I think we should have all the events in Hawaii.
I agree with you. I actually told them that yesterday. I said, hey, can we have our staff meeting and join their staff meeting?
Yes.
That conversation didn't go very
far. Far. And we don't want to do it virtually. We want to do it in person.
Can we? But no. Yeah. That didn't go.
Yeah. What a beautiful place that is. It's just
everybody. I've never been, so yeah, I mean, no doubt.
Everybody loves Hawaii. It's, Some people, you know, they're regulars. I've been once or twice, but haven't been for a long time. My wife's never been, and our kids have never been, so they're all chomping at the bit.
I think we can talk to Bishop and say if our next retreat for the Pastoral Center can be there.
I think it's a good idea.
Bishop Power. I mean, we can ask him.
We'll just charter an airplane.
Yeah, there you go.
or a rowboat or something.
Anything at this point.
Anything. Well, Alex, you're doing the Lord's work, and we greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And we'll get you back on to hear all the success of Mercy in Motion.
Thank you very much. You're in my prayers, and we remind everyone listening that we are still here. We're here to serve our offices, although we cannot. Right now, we're going to be able to meet physically in a few weeks, but we're here to serve you. We're a phone call away.
Very good.
Thank
Alex,
you for doing this.
Thanks so much. God bless.
Blessings, Bob.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Blessings to you. Thanks so much, and thanks for the prayers. You know, if people said, I'll pray for you, you're in my prayers, wish people God bless, it's a great way to greet people, I think. I think it'd be a better world. We're going to take a quick break, back with more on Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1000. 1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour. Some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for all you have done and continue to do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Bishop Emeritus, sometimes when you quote-unquote retire, you find out that you're busier than you ever have been. April has been designated as Child Abuse Prevention Month in the United States since 1983. It is an annual observance dedicated to raising awareness and preventing child abuse. Abuse occurs at every socioeconomic level, across ethnic and cultural lines, within all religions, and at all levels of education. Catholic dioceses across the United States work year-round to help prevent abuse. The Diocese of Sacramento is ever vigilant in our commitment to help prevent abuse. And we will have Katita Schloman, who is the Safe Environment Coordinator for the Diocese of Sacramento. We will have her on in the coming days to talk about the safe environment and child abuse prevention month. Right now, we are pleased to welcome Jennifer Campbell to the show. Jennifer joins us by phone. Good to have you with us, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you, Bob?
Doing very well. You must be doing pretty well because some of these events that you're so intimately involved in are coming to fruition.
They are. We get to do things in person again.
Isn't that something?
It's just a great feeling to know that things are opening up again. And,
yeah.
I think especially this summer and into the fall. It's going to be nice to be able to be, you know, gathered with people, socially distant probably still, but definitely, you know, together again.
Yeah.
Which sounds so weird. So I thought I could talk a little bit about, last time when I was on, I mentioned that we were going to do day camps, but I couldn't tell you where.
Yes.
So I thought I'd tell you where if you want to know.
Oh, very good.
So Camp Indola, we're not going to be able to gather in as our traditional camp as we've done, but we're going to do some day camps in July. And we have spread them around the diocese a little bit. So our first week is going to start on July 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday through Friday from 9 to 3. And that first week, we're going to be at Holy Family in Citrus Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And then our second week is on July 12th through the 16th. And we're going to be at a parish that I think you know very well. We're going to be at St. James in Davis.
Oh, my goodness. Alert the media.
I told you.
Yes.
And then, yeah, So I think you know that parish a little. And then our third week, we're going to go up to the North State. So it's going to be the week of July 19th. We're going to be at Sacred Heart in Anderson.
Oh, wonderful.
And then our last week is the week of the 26th, and that is going to be at Holy Trinity in El Dorado Hills.
Oh, up in the foothills a little bit. And
yeah.
It's such a faithful group in Anderson. You know, people know about Red Bluff, they know about Redding, and sometimes I think Anderson gets forgotten, and it's a beautiful little town. And
I agree. Yeah. And I think, well, it doesn't help that it's in Red Bluff and Anderson, it's
yeah.
Both Sacred Heart.
Right.
So, we're not very creative there, but
we have a few Sacred Hearts in this parish, in this diocese.
We sure do. And so St. Joseph's and Sacred Hearts, we got a lot of them.
Yeah, that's right.
but yeah, so it'll be nice to kind of be able to get out into the diocese. I mean, it's only four parishes and we have 104. I understand that. But, you know, we can spread out and get to, you know, introduce the idea of Camp Pandora and kind of the fun that we usually have in our summer that we do up at the camp, bring it to those parishes to have. We'll be able to have just as much fun and encourage kids in their faith and get to explore nature. You know, all of these parishes have great campuses that we can be outside for the majority of the time, just like we are up at camp, and still, you know, having those opportunities to explore nature. And I mean, just like I was when I did my tour of St. James for prepping what we're going to do. I mean, you have this big, great field that's right there at the campus with trees in it. That we can do a lot of our same nature activities that we do with pine trees, you know, traditionally up in the pines, that we'll be able to do a little bit there at St. James. And,
yeah, they have on the south end of the campus, they have some beautiful pine trees.
Yeah. I walked outside. It was like one of the first things that caught my eye, and I was like, this is perfect. This will be great. This will work. We can do something with this location.
And they have a beautiful shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe there at the parish. And yeah, it's a parish, you know, that's in my heart.
It is. And at Holy Trinity, I mean, you just don't, that the view from that parish is just not, you just doesn't get better. And so that one is, you know, that one's pretty close to like Placerville. It's not too far from Folsom. So we're hoping that, you know, families won't just come from the parishes that we're doing the camp at, but, you know, the neighboring parishes. We tried to pick locations that were kind of centrally located around a number of parishes, that it wouldn't be too hard for parents to drive and drop off every day. So
the hardest part of a Holy Trinity is just getting up that hill.
Physically, just that one hill. Yeah.
I wonder if the kids ride their bikes up to school up there.
I cannot imagine that they would, but it's possible.
They probably convinced their parents to put the bike in the trunk, and then they'll ride it down the hill after school.
For sure.
Yeah. That's some hill.
It is. And parents are, you know, parishes, as I've gone out and talked to VREs and pastors, they're excited to get people back into their parishes and back on campus. And so this is another way for us to do that and get, you know, families that maybe, you know, don't know necessarily, aren't active at, you know, Holy Trinity or whatever parish that we're at that week, but live in the area, you know, this is a way to get them on campus. We'll be able to introduce them to the priest, because the priests who are from the parishes will be saying mass for us during the week and helping us with prayer. And I know specifically at Holy Trinity, they're going to be using, we need some volunteers for preparing snack and helping with check-ins. So they're going to be, you know, enlisting and help getting, trying to get some of their confirmation kids to help with those aspects of camp that we, because the camp is really, you know, for little kids,
mm-hmm.
For day camp, but try to enlist some of those older camper, older students, I guess, and families to help out in ways that we might need. So really excited about this. It's going to be fun. And registration is open. So if you go to our website, which is pandola.org, you can register for the weeks of camp. It's $125 per week, which is, if you've looked pricing day camps, it's pretty inexpensive. And it's a good way to It's a good way for kids to spend a week and get some opportunities to get outside, be around other kids they know. It's great if they can sign up with some friends. If they're the same age group, we can put them in the same group and they'll be doing the same activities with them.
Well, we can call the Holy Trinity Day Camp the Highway 50 Day Camp.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's perfectly located for, I can think of three or four or five, parishes, and it doesn't even have to be a parish. It could just be you live in proximity to that.
Exactly. It's not too far. I mean, when people, it's funny, like when we were in the, visiting parishes back, a year ago, everyone, and I'd say like, oh, I'm going to Holy Trinity today, or wherever the parish was, like, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you drive that far. I'm like, it's not that far, and it's a beautiful drive. Like, it's worth it.
It really is.
So,
yeah.
And I feel that way about a lot of our parishes and, like, the drive to them. It's never as far as you put in your mind it's going to be. And, having a year where we really didn't drive anywhere, it's kind of nice to get to travel and see, even if it's just in our own diocese, which isn't, it's large, but, it's not like driving to L.A.
Yeah, I can't think of a parish that isn't fun to drive to.
Yeah, for sure. And so, we're hoping we'll get, again, not just the kids at those parishes, but, neighboring parishes and, bring them in a group and, have them sign up together and we can put them in the same, they're not really cabins, but we probably will still call them cabin groups. Instead of, that's what we used to, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll have them there, do that together. We also have our family camping open, where families can rent a cabin. There's a set fee per night, with a two-night minimum, plus when you pay for food. There is a standard food charge. Kids under four are free, but parents, it's a per-night food, and then a per-night per family to rent the cabin. And we'll have staff up there to assist with activities and pass things out to families, and then on the weekends do some, some specific things, campfire, have mass up there. That is all, those registrations are open as well.
That sounds like all kinds of fun.
I know, I think it'll be a lot of fun, and honestly, just an opportunity for families to get away from their homes, which most will have not done in the last year.
Yeah.
Get away and not have to, you've gone camping with your kids, I'm sure, Bob.
Yeah.
And having to worry about all of the food and all the activities and what are you going to do, and then the clothes, and, just the food alone can fill up your car.
It can.
And, this opportunity, you don't have to bring any food. We'll provide your food for you. You just need to bring your sleeping bag, your clothes. We'll provide activities for you. It does kind of take a lot of the, part about camping that can be not as much fun out of it for you.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, you can't just drop off your four-year-old. You need to accompany your four-year-old.
Correct.
They are free, though.
They are free. We're not charging them for food. We'll still give them food, of course, but we're,
yes.
Because, they don't need as much as like a 16-year-old.
That's
so,
for sure.
I don't think they do. My experience.
I have a 16-year-old at home, and I can't think of a time of the day, other than when he's in school, when he's not eating.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure at school he's not eating.
My brother is, he's 9 years younger than me, and he never stopped eating. I just remember that he'd go through growth spurts, and it was very much like Hungry Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah. There's a couple of pieces of bread left, and you're going to make yourself a sandwich, but you're finishing a project, in the backyard or something, and you come in and you got, you're already salivating and you've got idea what you're going to put in that sandwich, and you get the mayonnaise out and you get everything out and you go over to the bread bin and where's the bread? Where's the bread?
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
For sure. Yeah, so we'll have, so again, we'll feed the 4-year-olds. They just don't have to pay for the food. And it'll be a lot of fun, and I think it does take the stress out of the, you know, if you're taking your family camping, like we're doing the kind of doing some of the heavy lifting, and you just are there, and the activities will be out for you to participate in, and, you know, the staff will be there to give you ideas if you're looking for something to do. There's also some great trails around Camp Pendola, as well as it's not too far. You know, you'll have a vehicle, so it's not too far to, like, drive to Bullard's Bar if you wanted mm-hmm. to do that as, like, a day trip yourself. It's only, like, a 25-30-minute drive from camp.
Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful ride.
Yeah, it is. And Bullard's Bar, it's really a nice lake. It's obviously a...
artificial, it's a dam, yes.
Yeah. I was like, what is this called? It's a dam. You can actually drive over the dam and mm-hmm. see it. It's really large, so it's really pretty.
She actually meant to say you can drive across the dam.
Thank you.
Don't try That's driving perfect. Over the dam.
Thank you. Across it. That's what I meant. Good catch, Bob. Don't drive over it. sorry. I didn't come out right. But yeah, you can drive across it. And it's huge. It's something we drive across it when we take the kids for the canoe trip. That's where we drop mm-hmm. them off at mm-hmm. is near the dam. And it's every time the kids are like, why is it so big? They're like always so shocked
yeah.
that we're driving across it and that it's so large. It's really nice. It's a pretty lake. That's something you could do, families could do. There's hiking trails and everything around there too. So we will help you find something to fill your time with and help you with food and all that kind of good stuff and cleaning.
Very good. And for the day camps, not at Camp Pendola, but the day camps at the four sites mm-hmm. you mentioned, what age range are we talking about?
Entering first grade through entering seventh grade.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
So,
and
elementary school.
We've got On Fire is on fire.
It is. On Fire is coming in September. We're launching the website we launched the website over the weekend with our final Keep the Light Bright event. And if you watched it, you also got to meet the talent that we have coming for this event, which I am actually so excited for the talent that we have joining us this year. It's going to be, our event is on September 18th. It is going to be at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in Vallejo. And this is an event for all of the NorCal Diocese and Reno. And so we've got some great talent coming. So we have Father Radmar Howe, who's a Jesuit priest. He's actually the vocation director mm-hmm. For the West Coast province for mm-hmm. the Jesuits.
Of the Jesuits, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be our homilist and lead adoration for us in the evening. He, fun fact, before entering the Jesuits, was an actor and was actually in an episode of Seinfeld.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he was an actor and had a conversion. I'm sure if you have him on, he'll talk to you a little bit more about it. But he had he entered around 2001 and actually was still acting a little bit once he'd entered for a few years, but he's not anymore. But he's going to be our homilist. Our keynote speaker, we'll have our keynote in the evening during adoration. Her name is Sister Josephine Garrett, and she was born and raised in Houston, Texas. The order she lives with there in Tyler, Texas,
mm-hmm.
Which is on the east side of Texas, I think. Now that I've said that out loud, I'm not sure. she is a religious sister with the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
Based in out of Texas, and... before she also had a conversion while went to school at the University of Dallas. She didn't know it was a Catholic university when she entered. and by the time she left, she was Catholic.
Oh, that's I like that story.
I mean, that's pretty great, right?
They call it stealth Catholicism.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she also has a great conversion story and vocation story like, she was in banking. She was a very professional woman, did that for 10 years and making a lot of money, and, you know, had this conversion and followed her vocation, which led her to be to become a religious sister. Joe Melendrez, who we've had a few times before at On Fire.
Right.
He's an On Fire favorite. He's going to be there as our MC and doing music for our concert. So he's been around. He's great. We love his energy and his enthusiasm. You know, he's a Catholic hip-hop guy, but also just one of the most genuine speakers and just nicest people that we've been blessed to work with. And he's the only person I know who can, like, only guy I know who really embraces wearing a pink hoodie, and all of the boys at On Fire end up buying his pink hoodie that he's wearing. It makes me laugh every time. And then we have our band. Their name is Epic.
Mm-hmm.
And they are based out of Miami, Florida. And they are going to be there to do mass in the morning, praise and worship during adoration, and the concert in the evening. You can see a video of them playing on the On Fire website right now. They're just a Catholic band that's based in Miami. And we, Alex Barraza, who works in our mm-hmm. office, actually found them. We wanted to have them come in 2020, but, well, you know, things happened. So a little thing happened. And so now we were so excited to get them back for 2021. And On Fire is going to possibly look different this year. We're trying to change things up and keep it new and exciting, because we realize that, you know, after a year apart from each other, we want the young people to have this opportunity to be together. So we're having less talks at On Fire. We're focusing on the mass in the morning with music in the morning as well. And then the adoration and concert in the evening, and really trying to encouraging our youth groups that come to, you know, hang out with other youth groups during the day, go on rides, go see the dolphin show,
mm-hmm.
go check out the sea lions, whatever. I always like to go look at the penguins, feed a seal, whatever you want to do. Don't feed a penguin, a seal to a penguin, but or vice versa. But go do the things in the park, have fun, really take this time for some fellowship with your youth group and small groups, and enjoy that day, and just anchor the day with having the mass and the adoration instead of filling the day with talks, because it does get just feels a little busy sometimes when
mm-hmm.
the groups are running from venue to venue to make sure they don't miss the speaker.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to be a great success.
And Bishop Soto will be there. He has confirmed it on his calendar, so he'll be there for mass for sure.
Very good.
We will have priests, if any priests are listening, please let me know that if you'd like to join us. We would like to offer reconciliation throughout the day and confession throughout the day to our young people and chaperones. So we need priests for that. And we're going to have a vocation carnival during lunch. So we've done that in years past. We're working really hard with our vocations office in our diocese to contact all the other, you know, vocation offices plus religious orders to really fill that with opportunities for young people to meet seminarians and meet sisters and brothers. To see, you know, it's not necessarily to make them, like, fill out a card and sign up to be whatever order, fill in the blank there. But for them to see the joy that these holy people and, you know, brothers and sisters and priests or seminarians, you know, get to see them and talk to them and ask them questions, because I don't think, you know, young people necessarily have a good opportunity to do that a lot of the time.
No, it's a wonderful
offers that for them.
Wonderful opportunity. Well, Jennifer, we can't wait for all this to take place, and it's right around the corner. And I know we're going to have a lot of those people on. We'll guest them here on the Bishop's Hour leading up to On Fire, and Thanks for all you do, and we'll look forward to the next time we interview you, maybe seeing you in person.
Maybe. Hopefully. That'd be good.
That'd be wonderful. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, God bless. That's Jennifer Campbell, who's, she directs Camp Pendola and Trinity Pines and does a lot of other great work here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto has issued a pastoral letter, Call to Holiness, and you can read all of it on the, I'm going to share it now, but you can read all of it at the diocesan website, which is SCD, Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org. This is a call to holiness, a pastoral letter from Bishop Jaime Soto. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, the Lord Jesus saw a great crowd gathering around him. He went up to a mountain. He went up a mountain with his disciples and taught them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." These beautiful metaphors were both inspirational and instructive about Christian living. They offer us a window into the universal call to holiness. To be holy is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The scene from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount helps us understand the holiness of Jesus. With many works of mercy, Jesus assembled the disciples around him, and then he taught them. Holiness is only found through Christ. His mercy gathers us together. His gospel message unites us. We only find holiness in communion with the Lord Jesus and his mystical body, the church. Only in union with Christ can we be as the Lord has called us to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As the church and the world struggle to emerge from the dismal cloud of the COVID-19 pandemic, Christ awakens us to our baptismal dignity. We are to be the salt of the earth and light of the world, reflecting the holiness of Christ. After months of fears and doubts about gathering together, pastor and faithful are worried about the future of our parish communities. Who will return? When will they return? How will we sustain our worship, teaching, and charity? Let us begin a revival of parish life by welcoming Christ into the journey of our lives. He can take this journey clouded by calamities and lead us on the road to holiness. With Jesus as our good shepherd and companion, we will fulfill his summons to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. True holiness makes us disciples of Jesus and missionaries of his gospel. In this time of uncertainty, the Lord Jesus is eager for us to welcome him on our journey, as did the disciples on the road to Emmaus. As for those two disciples, the disposition of hospitality opens us to the amazing mercy to be found in Christ and the unexpected graces discovered when welcoming others on the pilgrimage of faith. The early church emphasized hospitality as an essential dimension of holiness. St. Paul, relating the early controversy about the inclusion of the Gentiles as part of Christian community, reminded the Galatians of the clear instructions he had received from Simon Peter and the apostles in Jerusalem. "We were to be mindful of the poor, which is the very thing I was eager to do." In the letter to the Hebrews, the author exhorted the community to practice hospitality. "Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels." Holiness, by its very nature, is hospitable. Jesus invited others to holiness in a personal way. To the disciples of John, "Come and see." To Andrew and Simon along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, "Come, follow me." "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened," was his invitation to all whose hearts were afflicted. The holiness of Christ attracted the first disciples. The holiness of the Lord Jesus drew the sick and the hungry to seek healing and nourishment. When we unite ourselves more closely to Christ, his Spirit then makes us his messengers, his missionaries, with the light of his divine mercy in our hearts. It is not a matter of wondering when will others return, but when will we eagerly seek to bring them to Christ. The hospitable holiness of Christ also makes us the living sacrament of his presence in the world. Sacraments always reflect the holiness of Jesus. They transmit his holiness to those who celebrate the sacraments. Through the sacraments, Jesus hospitably leads us into the holy mystery of his divine life with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are transformed by the sacraments of Christ into the Lord's sacramental presence in society. In this sense, to be holy is to be Christ's sacrament in the world, to be a sign and an instrument of Christ for others, to be the salt that revives the saddened soul and the light that awakens a weary world. These are the words of Bishop Soto in his pastoral letter. This has a special meaning for us in the Diocese of Sacramento. The Most Blessed Sacrament, Santissimo Sacramento, is the rich legacy of our mission in Northern California. For this reason, in my pastoral statement from 2012, I propose the Church in Sacramento will be a hopeful and effective sacrament of Christ in Northern California. As the hopeful and effective sacrament of Christ, we will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in Northern California. This pastoral mission is best fulfilled when we unite ourselves more closely to the holiness of the Lord Jesus, when we join ourselves to the one holy and acceptable sacrifice of Christ offered on the cross. The blood of Christ outpoured transforms us into a holy nation, a royal priesthood consecrated to the glory of God and the sanctification of the world. This is what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A holy sacramental hospitality imitates the priestly sacrifice of Jesus. As Christ obediently accepted the cross, we welcome in holy obedience the Father's will for us. In many ways, we have witnessed this during the long suffering of the pandemic. The unpredictable, unforeseeable nature of the virus has upset the patterns of our lives. Clergy and faithful have learned to welcome the tender hands of the divine potter molding our hearts, enabling us to be more compassionate for the many afflicted, bringing forth new ways to gather in faith, reviving old rhythms of prayer, and providing wellsprings of persevering grace. A holy, sacramental hospitality also offers oneself for others as Christ offered himself for us. Only by probing the depths of Christ's loving sacrifice on the cross will we do as he has done. After washing the feet of his disciples, in a prelude to the purifying suffering of the cross, Jesus told his disciples, "As I have done for you, you should also do." With the Lord Jesus, we are open to the Father's will and offer ourselves to others. These two sacramental dimensions of hospitality bring us into a greater harmony with the one holy sacrifice of Christ. Hospitality becomes more than a gracious gesture. It becomes an opportunity to grow in holiness of Christ and communicate his holiness to others. This is the salt and light to which the Lord Jesus summons us from the Sermon on the Mount. Two ascetic disciplines essential to cultivating holiness in harmony with the one offering of Christ are the practical pastoral principles of co-responsibility and accountability. Co-responsibility springs from our common baptism. Through baptism, we all share in the saving death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Together, we are a new creation in Christ. We are no longer strangers and aliens to one another. We are all members of his one body, the Church. Christ is the head of this mystical body. Each of us is a part of Christ's body. Each of us have been given gifts by the one Spirit. We are responsible to Christ and one another to share those gifts for the good of the body of Christ. This is the baptismal responsibility of each disciple. Accountability is the practice of reverence for one another, responding to Christ's presence whenever two or three are gathered in his name. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. Being accountable to one another, each member understands the unity of the whole body of Christ. We'll all provide an accounting of our lives at the final judgment. This accounting begins even now, because as the Lord Jesus reminds us, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." The practice of co-responsibility and accountability are not just organizational tools. They are disciplines that enable us to grow in holiness together. They are wise ascetical practices that teach us how to be more hospitable to the gifts, the wisdom, as well as the needs of one another. They are holy habits that keep salt from losing its flavor or a light from being hidden under a bushel basket. Over the next 12 months, I invite my brother priests and the laity to join me in revitalizing our parish communities with a focus on offering greater hospitality and outreach to all our communities. Reinvigorate parish pastoral councils that foster accountability, co-responsibility, and collaboration. To this end, I will convene a convocation on Saturday, April 17, 2021, for all pastoral councils. This will be followed up in October 2021 with an additional day of dialogue and workshops. Pastors whose parish is without a parish pastoral council are expected to inaugurate a council by June 30, 2021. To promote parish revitalization, parish pastoral councils will meet monthly. I will propose agenda items for consultation among the pastor and the council members. The proposed agenda items are intended to augment but not replace parish agenda items. I would ask you to choose 3 to 4 of the agenda items to work on over the next 6 months. And then he lists a number of these, and you can read all of them on the diocesan website at scd.org. They include parish pastoral councils, an effective tool for building parish co-responsibility and accountability, hospitality in Sunday Mass, hospitality in our charitable works, hospitality in our religious formation, hospitality for young families, hospitality for the unmarried and the engaged couples, hospitality for the dying and the bereaved, hospitality to the sick and homebound, and hospitality for expectant mothers and fathers, missionary outreaches, hospitality, and hospitality and vocations. Vocation begins with the invitation, come follow me. The bishop concludes, these reflections hope to encourage us to foster together an authentic holiness of life in each disciple and a holy hospitality in the whole body of the church, so that together with Christ, we can be his living sacrament of joy and hope in Northern California. We are inspired by the example of holiness and hospitality found in the person of Saint Joseph. His moment of salvation came when he heard the angel's good counsel, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. Let us rely on the powerful intercession of the holy couple, Mary and Joseph, so that holiness and hospitality may open the door for our salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those are the words of our bishop, Bishop Jaime Soto, in his call to holiness in his pastoral letter. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink. its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.